I'm going to answer the first two questions that were actually given in the last lecture, which kind of dealt with the topic. This one was put on the table after I left. It says that it's so hard to deal with materialism in this society. And I'm just reading what they wrote, so don't label me as anti-Pakistani. Okay? It is so hard for me to deal with materialism in this society, especially in Pakistani society. I don't understand why people judge you on the car you have, how big your house is, or what you're wearing, like guest jeans, and not how you are as a person and how do you deal with this. This is a problem that anybody who found iman in their heart is going to face. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَارِكُمْ وَلَا أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَكِمْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. Prophet ﷺ is saying in hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your dress. It doesn't happen now. It's not Jannah now. الدنيا سجن مؤمن وجنة الكافر. And that you're going to have to face opposition. And the person who's probably asking this question, the biggest amount of opposition you're going to find in your own house. And the people around you, your families. The second way is how you can deal with it. First is, don't be rude and don't be shaddid. Try to work on these people step by step by step. And give them the prophetic example. How the Prophet ﷺ used to marry people. How the Prophet ﷺ used to deal with people. That the companions of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ as an imam, I found this statement amazing. After Jum'ah, 400 or 500 people are coming to you and talking to you. Sometimes you have a headache. Sometimes you don't want to talk to people. The companions of the Prophet said that every one of us thought we were the best friend of the Prophet ﷺ. So you deal with them in a nice way. And be sincere. And call them to what's right. There's many ways to do this. I know, for example, in your families, especially those of you from traditional overseas families, you're not really supposed to talk to your parents about stuff like this. Am I right or wrong? This is what I think. Okay. Because I had a sister one time, she told me, my father, he makes ghibah. And I cannot correct him. If I correct him, it will be seen as some type of, you know, shank in his honor. So I told her, sister, why don't you go get Riyad Salihin and have your father read to you the chapter on backbiting. And then ask your father, can you explain to me this hadith? Because now he's beating himself. You must do the same thing. Find some examples of the Prophet's life and sit with these people. The last part of the question is how you can deal with it. And the way to deal with it is found in Surah Luqman. That Luqman, one time in our city we had a brother who was good, mashallah, very knowledgeable in Tawheed and Shirk and Aqeedah. So some brothers asked him, who was a student of knowledge from our madrasa, to come and teach them. And he said, I'm just a student of knowledge. I don't feel that it's my place to teach you. Then he went to our sheikh and he asked our sheikh and he said, yes, you should teach. So once his sheikh gave him this blessing, he went. And he started to teach these brothers. And lo and behold, rumors started to spread about him in the community. They started to go in the community. And nobody, I mean the brothers who knew him, we know that he's a good man. And it's not true. We were in college together and stuff. Then he found out that the same people who had asked him to conduct the class were in fact the same people who were slandering him, subhanAllah. So he went to our sheikh. And he started to complain. He said, these are the people that asked me to teach. And now they are destroying my reputation. And then our sheikh said something beautiful. He said, Ya bunayya, aqim as-salata, wa'mur bil-ma'ruf, wanha anil munkar, wasbir ala ma asabak, inna dharika min azm al-umur. He said, do you think you're going to be on the road of da'wah and you will not be tested, young boy? And he said, subhanAllah, like this ayah is just revealed to me. That Luqman, he told his son, when you start to call people to truth and forbid them of evil, you better be patient. Because this is the road. Welcome to the road. Whoever wrote this question, Welcome to the world. Because truth and falsehood always going to be like this. But you have to be kind. You have to forgive people. You have to be soft with them. Don't do like I did when I first became Muslim. I came home and said, Qala Ahmadi that, Ahmadi that said that. Y'all a bunch of kuffar, y'all worshiping a stick, this, that. I destroyed my relationship with my family, man. And it took me 7 years to fix it. What I destroyed in one day. So you have to call them to this, and you have to correct this culture. This Bollywood, Shahrukh Khan, Shaitan, all of this nonsense is destroying the Pakistani and Indian youth. Wallahi, my wife is from Malaysia. I went to Malaysia. Now they have Bollywood in Malay. I was riding on a bus in the mountains to Malaysia, and the bus driver is watching a movie and driving the bus at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is crazy, man. This is your ilah? Why don't you stand and pray in the night or something? You have to fight this culture. But you have to be very, very, very wise. And that's the last point for this person is to learn. Read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu, how he dealt with this problem. The other question is, and we will not take that long to answer questions. My iman seems to be up and down. How can I keep it consistent? First of all, iman is up and down. That's why the heart is called what? Qalb. Qalb yuqalibu shay'an. What does qalb mean in Arabic? It means to change. Because your heart is changing. Like that boy, he can't say, oh, I love this girl. In 3 minutes, I don't love her. His heart changed. Sometimes you find the iman strong. Sometimes iman is down. But how can you try to keep it at a consistent level? The first thing is to observe your fara'id. To observe those things which Allah has made fard on you. Like the 5 prayers. The fasting of the month of Ramadan. Now, you fall into a dangerous trap here. If that's the only thing you do, you start to find kind of a boredom in yourself. And that's why Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The Prophet was sent as a rahmah. So many different dua. If you read this book by Shaykh Albani rahimahullah about how the Prophet prayed. How many different dua the Prophet is giving you to say before your prayer. He didn't say all those dua before you prayed because the prayer will be 7 hours long. But what it means is different times in your life, take different dua to keep it fresh. Learn new surah of Quran. Keep actively involved in learning. Because the more you learn, the more the barometer of iman it goes up. But when you stop, you become stagnant. And when you become stagnant, you find your iman is at this like plateau state. That's why, subhanAllah, I love when I go to see my teacher. Even sometimes I don't have class with him, but maybe he's teaching another class like tafsir. But listen, sometimes you make this mistake when you go to masjid, if you find the halaqa, you don't sit and listen to the shaykh. But subhanAllah, sometimes if you listen, you'll hear just that one thing. He says, subhanAllah. We'll rise. So actively involved in learning, reading and practicing. And secondly, staying away from sins. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that, or actually the ulama have said, that iman yazid wa yanqus. Yazid bi ta'a wa yanqus bi ma'asim. That iman increases with obedience to Allah, and it decreases with sins. So the more I'm sinning, my iman will decrease. If someone commits zina, should he tell the imam so he can be punished? No. No. You know what? This is rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do what with their sin on the Day of Judgment? Can what? Can hide it out of His rahmah. But if you go and tell everyone, no one should ever tell their sins to people. Now, for example, what if you have a shaykh on iman? I would not tell them that I made zina. Because this is the sin which can be, you can be put hudud on you. But ask them questions that can advise you about these things. For example, I know someone who has fallen into zina. How should they deal with it? Then the shaykh will tell you, do this, do this, do this. Is there any way that we can ask Allah for forgiveness quietly by doing istighfar? Yes, I mean, actually there's a dua from the Sahih Bukhari called Sayyid al-Istighfar. And this dua, subhanAllah, is the most beautiful dua of the Prophet, one of his most beautiful dua. Allahumma rabba, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana 'abduka wa ana 'indika. And this dua you find in Sahih Bukhari and also in those small free books that you find of dua that people have given away now. May Allah reward them. And you should make repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for zina. And there are some conditions to repentance. The first is that you feel in your heart this nadam, this shame in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is that you vow never to return back to this sin. The third condition is that you leave the sin immediately. Don't, for example, repent to Allah and say, after tomorrow I will not do the sin again. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you are talking to. And I'll give you a beautiful story which is authentic narration found in Al-Hakim, the book of Al-Hakim. That a man who came to the Prophet, because sometimes when you give this type of thoughts, it's tough on you. And that's for a reason, to encourage you to, and myself, to be better Muslims. But never give up on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man, he came to the Prophet and he said, he came from the Badiyah, he was from the Bedouins. And he came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a man. If you took my sins, just my sins, there would be enough to spread amongst all of humanity's sins. Meaning that I have committed more sins than all of humanity. Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? Prophet was quiet. And then the verse came from Surah Zumar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَا الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, O my servants who have wronged yourself by sin, never give up on the mercy of Allah. Surely Allah forgive the sins, every one of the sins. And indeed, He's the most gracious, most merciful. So turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't make this repentance known in front of the people. This person should go in a place where only they are with Allah by His knowledge, and they should repent to Him. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them to never return to zina. What do you do if it has been done, meaning you have done zina, and you want to straighten out? It's kind of in reference to the last question, but it's a good question. And also you see now that it's kind of relevant, the topic. When the brothers first, they emailed me, they said, do you have a topic? I said, you choose the topic. And then they came back, zina. I said, wow, what's going on up in Canada, some kind of Muslim corruption or something, man. Zina, the disease. I said, oh, okay, that's alright. It's a very important issue. What you should do, honestly, there are three things. The first thing is never to give up on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And realize that one of the attributes of Allah is al-wudud, the loving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving to us. And also realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafur rahim. He's forgiving. And also realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shadeedul iqab. That He will punish you. Inna batisha rabbika la shadeed. And I will give you a beautiful story about this, for those of you asking this question, how to stop sins. It's from Ibrahim Adham, rahimallah. Ibrahim Adham, he was one of the famous people of Zuhd. He was a Zahid. And a man came to him, and maybe you know the story, it was circulated on the net about 3 years ago. Then a man came to Ibrahim Adham and he said, I cannot stop sinning. What should I do? He said, the first thing that you should do is take 5 things from me. If you do these 5 things, you will never sin, inshallah, these major sins, unless you, of course, are a human being and you make a mistake. He said, the first one is that when you want to sin, or after you commit the sin, do not eat from any of the provisions which Allah has bestowed upon you. He said, Shaykh, everything is being bestowed upon us by Allah. He said, exactly. How can you sin against the one who feeds you? He said, the second thing, if you want to commit a sin, leave the earth of Allah and live somewhere else. He said, Shaykh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has restricted our existence to this earth. And it is not possible for me to leave this earth. I will have nowhere else to live. He said, exactly. How can you live rent free and board free and sin against the one who is providing these things for you? He said, thirdly, when you want to do this sin, and this is also for those of you who, because zina is a sin, wallahi, it is a sin. Once it grabs somebody, it continues to pull them. I've seen this with brothers before. And sisters, it will not let go. He said, when you want to sin, go to a place that Allah cannot see you and do it. Because you have to realize that when you are doing zina, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ, you are being watched. You are doing this in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. There's no shame. He said to him, Shaykh, I cannot go anywhere and sin secretly. He said, so how can you sin against the one who fed you, who gave you a place to live? You can't hide from his sight. He said, the next is that when the angel of death comes to take your soul, ask him to wait and repent to Allah. He said, Shaykh, when la ya'sun Allah, ma amarum wa yafaluna ma yumarun. These malaika, they will do what Allah orders them to do. I will not have time to repent. He said, exactly. So how could you sin against Allah? And lastly, the Shaykh, he said, when you want to commit the sin, Remember that when the angels are throwing you on your face in the hellfire, at that moment ask them to stop. He said, I will not stop. They will not stop. They will throw me in the hell. He said, exactly. How can you say it to someone who's feeding you, giving you room and board? You can't hide from him. He can take your soul at any time. And when he throws you in hell, you cannot stop it. He said that directly. So keep this in your mind when you want to sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, sorry. Are you allowed to have a relationship with your fiancé to know him or her better? Getter or better? I think it's better. And what is... Can't spell up my camera. And what is... And no capital on and. And what... I'm a teacher, so this is what I do. And what is the closest you can get to him and her? Yes, you are allowed to know him and her better according to the Sharia. What does it mean according to the Sharia? Does it mean that you can call her? How are you doing? What's going on? I don't know what she's doing. This is American bid'ah, mashallah. Or you can meet her on the chat room. Go to her house in front of her father and her mother and meet her. That's it, yani. Is this so hard? Her parents are going to kill you? If they already accepted you to marry her, that means that you must know them as well. You should know them, and also vice versa. Sister should go to the brother's house with people there. And you, yani. Doesn't mean they're like electron microscope. But they are there with you, and they are observing you. Because you don't want to fall into this trap. And I don't advise allowing this to go on for a long time. Find some people that said we're going to get married in 7 years. No, brother, 7 years is... Shee. No. If you're going to make this move, do it. I mean, after you get to know the person, plan and get married. Or you at least make the akhid that you can be alone together, you can go places and so forth. We have some brothers in Oklahoma who his wife was rather young, and he was doing his PhD, and it was hard for him to visit her in her house, so her parents accepted him, and alhamdulillah, they went and made the aqid only. So he can take his wife, yani, to places they can be together alone, and then eventually they finalize the marriage and so forth. But you don't need to get into the situations where you're alone, and you're doing it without your elders' knowledge. I don't advise this. Assalamu alaikum. Is playing music haram or makruh? If it is, how about you pray 5 times a day and play music for fun? Playing music definitely falls under the category of something that's haram, unless of course it's like Nasheed Islamiyah. And even then, it can be dangerous. And also it depends on the instrumentation, of course, the deaf, something that's accepted in Islam, this wedding drum. But also this can fall into haram. You know how it can fall into haram? It's wasting time. Because some people, I used to be a musician. I know some people that used to practice and play music like 15 hours a day. And this is israf with your time. Because one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you about is al-siha wal-farah. Is your time and your health. So you need to draw a line. Now if you're talking about dream, and I don't know that other stuff, yeah, definitely need to leave the garbage alone. And also about praying 5 times a day, the person, listen to the answer of Muhammad Ghazali. One time, rahimahullah, someone came to Sheikh Muhammad Ghazali and they asked him if music is haram. MashaAllah, this is like the oldest question. That one and the meat. Please, don't ask me about the meat, please. Kulu wa shrabu wa la tusrifu. We are tusrifu with this question. You know, you go to a conference and every year it has to come. The meat and music. We should have a meat and music seminar and just finish it after that. Meat and music. You know, meat and music. Okay? So, one person came to Sheikh Muhammad Ghazali and they asked him if music is haram. Look at his answer. He said, let's assume that music is haram. He said, now look at the condition of Muslims in the world. How is it that you have time to sit back and listen to music? How can music be? And Muslims are being slaughtered like sheep in Kashmir and in Shishan. And Muslims don't even know how to read the Quran correctly. سَرَطَ الَّذِينَ أَنَمْ تَعَلِيمُ مَا مَعْنَا الَّذِينَ فِي الْعَرَبِيَّةِ مَا وَجَدْتُ مُصْدَرَ الَّذِينَ فِي الْعَرَبِيَّةِ People are not reciting Quran right. They don't know how to use the restroom. They don't even know how to pray. Muslims are coming to masjids with gold on, men, and necklaces and holes in their ears and eyes. And I got time to go and waste my money and buy some CD and listen to it for 4 hours. I could have given this money to Chashmi. It's a waste, man. So this was his answer. There are a lot of people who chat on the internet and a lot of people who engage in romance on the net, which often leads to something else. You guess what? Got some humorous people up in Canada. Some people say that just chatting with a guy or girl is harmless and can be called cannot be called adultery or zina. Your comments. First of all, it's interesting that the person who wrote this question said that zina. Don't come close to zina. And you are chatting with women on the net. You are chatting with a man on the net. This is crazy, man. This is weird. And you are Muslim. And he's Muslim. And Shaytan is putting this ghurur on you to make you think it's okay. And it's not okay. And Sheikh bin Baz, as I mentioned his fatwa earlier, he said that when a man and a woman are alone in a chat room, this constitutes khalwa, being alone with a woman. And it's dangerous. And I will tell you a story quickly, because we have a lot of questions of how dangerous it can be. We had a sister who suffers from cerebral palsy. Actually, she's from the Nation of Islam. She's not even a Muslim. Okay, but she comes to the masjid, and we hope that she's a Muslim, but according to her aqidah, she is something else. Allah knows. But she has cerebral palsy, and she's basically crippled. But she can walk, but it's a struggle for her. We are trying to, originally brothers were trying, sisters were trying to give her dawah. And she went to glamour shots. I don't know if you have glamour shots in Canada. This thing called glamour shots. It's like, they make you look like something you're not, man. So she went and she did these glamour shots, and then she went on the net and she would go to chat rooms and she would talk to men and then she would send them the glamour shot. The brother would see the glamour shot and be like, whoa, I gotta go to Oklahoma, man. Okay? So this brother calls me in the masjid. Says, brother Imam, you have a sister there and I want to hook it up. I want to marry her. I told him, I don't know this woman, man. I told him, I'm not going to be involved in this nikah. I told him to his face. I said, I don't know anything about this woman at that time. He came anyways. He drove from Chicago, Illinois, based on a glamour shot, through the chat rooms. He came and he married the woman without the permission of the imam in my masjid. They married in my masjid. Somebody else did the marriage. I knew that brother. I trusted brother to make the nikah, but also he had been a little bit tricked by them. The brother goes to get the sister from the sister's side, and what do you think happened? She can't walk, man. She got five kids. And the five kids weren't in the glamour shop. They get in the car, they drive, and he turns around and brings her right back and divorces her, man. That's reality, man. And we know some sisters have been hurt, and also brothers, to this chat stuff. Because there's a rule in fiqh that says, if something can lead, in usul al-fiqh, if something can lead to haram, it's what? It became what? It became haram. So I advise you to fear Allah and stay away from these things. A woman who married a Christian is allowed to visit her. A woman who married a Christian, it is allowed to visit her to give her a dawah. She's a Muslim? You need to see her, you need to visit her, yes. And try to bring her back to Islam, and try to, maybe with your husband, affect her husband. Because you don't want to leave this woman, because if you leave this woman, then there'll be no one there for her. Do you think reading a novel is good? Y'all can't write either in Canada, man. They have the S. But it looks a lot like a fog. But they write in English. Could be Sanskrit. Do you think reading novel is good if it is near to be zina? I guess they're talking about those love stories. No. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that the zina of the ear and the tongue and the eye. And you're reading this type of books, man, it creates a mentality in you, man. Like Bollywood. I'm like going to start an anti-Bollywood jama'ah. I'm telling you, because I saw a Bollywood movie on that bus, because the screen was right there. And my wife was hitting me. Why are you watching? I said, the screen is right there, man. She could sleep. I can't sleep on a bus. And I wanted to see it, because actually you can't watch it very much, because they ain't got no clothes on. There's Hindu chicks. So, I watched the movie. I watched this movie. And honestly, I have become convinced that this is an agent of Shaitan. I'm telling you. Because it builds this false sense of life in you, man. Life is love story. Life is ibadah. And your love will be with your family. Wallahi, when you get married, you will find true love with your wife. MashaAllah. And these things, these books and all of this stuff, it's creating a false understanding of life to you. And the cover of those books, a'udhu billah, they are sick. So I don't think if it's a novel about this Harlequin and all this stuff, it's not permissible to read it. This day, you are emphasizing the importance of Hayat. The city of Toronto is having a pride parade for gays, where more than 100,000 gays are on the road, projecting utmost indecency. What's the difference between khair and shar? I don't understand the question, but obviously you can see that when this kind of facade is brought into a community, it should cause us as Muslims to react. I'm not saying you go and meet them on the road or something. But as Muslims, we should also be putting out our ideas and our thoughts for the public to see. We should not be dormant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ukhrijat linnas." You are sent out to people to show them things. I don't understand the questions. Please comment on Muta. Muta is something from the people of the Shi'i. It's not accepted according to the Sunnah. And it's a bunch of nonsense. Is it a form of zina? Yes. Why has it been accepted in Saudi Arabia? It has not been accepted in Saudi Arabia. I think this, maybe in the Shia community, they are practicing amongst themselves. But this is something that was practiced by the Prophet ﷺ's society before his advent. And during his prophethood, there's hadith which is sahih, found in the book of Imam Muslim. The Battle of Muta', it's famous. And he prohibited from that day forward. And now it's being used in a sick way. And I'll give you some logic to use to people. And honestly, the Shia community in North America, I'm not trying to offend anyone if they're Shia here, they are using this to capture Muslim youth and tell them that you can make this muta'ana. And they are doing it, man. And I know a brother who specializes in dealing with this. And there was a man who was telling us that you can do muta'. So he went to this man and he told him, "Do you have a sister?" SubhanAllah, watch this fitr. He said, "Yes." He said, "I'm ready. I'm ready, let's do it." And the man, he said, "Oh." He said, "See, you want to do it with everyone else but your own family. You want to do it on others, but you yourself won't accept others to do it with your family. Because it's not natural, man." So this is not something from the Sunnah. It's something from the people of Bid'ah. Sometimes it's hard to avoid mixed gatherings when it comes to extended families. How one must behave in these situations? Be your best. I know what you're talking about. Be your best. Because by not going, you can create a problem. And also, if you freak out, they're going to label you as an extremist. Do your best. Try to avoid it as best you can. Please suggest any books in English for the youth on the topic of zina, marriage in Islam, and so forth. There's a book on, there's a few books on marriage in Islam. And you can find, actually, there's a website by the Sister Huma of Albany, New York. And she has something called Sister's Homepage. And actually, you wouldn't need to buy books. I mean, she has like hundreds of articles on marriage in Islam. And her website is www.jannah.org. And she has a sister's special webpage. There you'll find some good things on marriage and nikah. If a guy fell into love with a girl as he talks to her parents, and as he talks to her parents that he loves her, then her wouldn't agree either. So what's the way to inform the girls that he loves her? If this brother can come and talk to me, because I don't understand the question. Okay. Don't laugh at the brother or sister. It's a good question. Just made some mistakes. What dress code should we as Muslims adhere to lessen the possibilities of the community of going into zina? That's a very good question, man. One of them is really for sisters is to avoid the tight dress. And these short sleeve shirts and stuff, unless you're like really small. This is advisable. But brothers, please stay away from wearing shorts. Because sometimes we find that the brothers in lectures give the sisters, mashallah, a lot of nasiha, And we find brothers are listening and they're wearing shorts. You should wear shorts that are over your knee. And also the brother shouldn't wear like tight muscle shirts and stuff. I mean, cover yourself in a modest way. It should be baggy, it should be loose and so forth. For the shurut of the dress in Islam, there are numerous books on this. One of them is Fiqh Sunnah of Sayyid Sabiq, where he talks about the conditions of the women's dress. Another one is by Sheikh Nasruddin Albani, on the dress of the Muslim woman and so forth. You can refer to those books of fiqh, and also you can ask your imam in your community. If we see a sister or brother not dressed properly, what should we do? It depends on who that sister or brother is. If that sister, that's the first time she ever came to the masjid, I don't think that's the first thing that she should do, is go and tell her that she dressed like she's crazy. And vice versa with the brother. You need to work on these people and build it in them. Okay, now if it's a sister that's experienced in da'wah, if it's a brother that's experienced in da'wah, you should give them some strong nasiha. And try to understand how to deal with them. It's very close to the time of Maghrib. Okay, sister basically she's asking a question that there's someone interested in becoming Muslim and that she loves this person, he's a Hindu. And how long should she wait on this person to convert to Islam? I advise her to be careful, because I've seen many times where the people become Muslim just for the marriage, man, and it became a disaster. I was a revert to Islam. I got married after I became Muslim. I didn't become Muslim to be married, man. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I've seen it. It's an old record. It's about like the meat and the music question. That I have never seen this work. Never. I've never seen a woman. That a man becomes Muslim for a woman, or a woman becomes Muslim for a man, never works, man. And that's my experience. I would advise you to be careful and not to force that person to stand up, right? Yeah, we need to go to convert to Islam just to get married, because I've seen it really backfire. And I've seen it get ugly. Where after she has 5 kids, he decides to tell her that he's a kafir now. I've seen this, man. And what she's going to do? She has 5 kids, and he doesn't want to raise them as Muslims. So I advise you to be careful. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum.